David Reneke, davidreneke.com. That's the website you need to look at. However, I go to the source. David Reneke himself, he joins me. G'day.
Yeah, Bill Gay, you're out of lockdown. Good to be back with you.
Thank you so much. Well, you can visit us. So anytime you want to hop the border, just wander through with your telescope and you'll be sweet.
We can, you betcha.
Yeah. Now, let's look at space stations, the ISS. I mean, they're looking to evacuate that very soon. They're looking to, well, before that, they've got a Tom Cruise movie. They're going to shoot there. Russia want to do something similar. But we pick up this general conversation about solar power stations in space. We're worried about using our fossil fuels. We're worried about solar panels all over the place. Well, we've got this great solar energy collector in the sky. Why don't we use it from space and direct it down here? Can that happen?
Yeah. What a great idea. Hey. This was thought about a long time ago. In fact, about 100 years ago by a Russian theorist, sensational guy, terrific for his time, brilliant author and he a visualizer of the future, Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, one of the forerunners of the American and the, well, not the American, but the Russian space program that got us to the moon. He came up with the same opinion. The sun's up there. It's free energy. And we're just wasting it. It's just going to waste here all the time. We've seen how you can collect it quite easy now. Solar energy collectors on roofs are quite commonplace. And it just, you just wonder why we don't use that in a much more, a wider way. And the idea has come about putting a space station up there, a solar space station, to pick the energy up from the sun, collect it and beam it back here. The relay stations, I think it's a great idea. You know, the idea for a solar-powered space station floating up there, I think that's come. Its time is now. We've got the technology to do it, and the European Space Agency are looking at ways of making it become a reality. There are dangers, of course, beaming all that back here in the form of microwave energy.
Could be a weapon.
Needs to be. Mm. Yeah. Well, it would fry anything moving in front of it, but you'd have to have containment issues, and you'd be it'd be beamed back, maybe from the poles, I don't know.
Mm.
But for sure, I've been an advocate of solar energy for such a long time now. There's enough power coming out of that sun to run the entire planet free of charge. I don't know why you don't use it. It all comes down to the mighty dollar, I'd say.
And that's the problem with our current solar collectors. We've got them on the house, but they're connected to an electricity company and you've got to connect them into the grid, and that's where the cost's involved. And it probably is too much to use those collectors on our house to take something so full of energy from that great height, but I'm sure there's a way to distribute or disperse it, which will make it economical.
Well, power stations are there to relay that power out. Now, where you get it from is irrelevant. We don't care. As long as your lights come on, your TV comes on, you can travel to the outback with a half a dozen solar panels. Put them on top of your caravan. You can quite comfortably live there if you wanted to. You can operate your stove, your lights, your TV, everything. It's free. That doesn't cost you a cent. And when it becomes, an issue of companies who own it and distribute it, and God knows, this is where you get problems. I think solar-powered space stations are certainly going to be a big thing in the future. The technology is not there now, but it will be very soon, and I just can't wait for it.
Yeah. Elon, what are you doing? Concentrate on that.
Yeah, he'd be the one to go for it. He was actually putting batteries, I think, down in South Australia.
Of course, yeah. Now, we've said this for ages, all those old rockets floating around, they're now space trash, but you're saying they could be the future of living and working in orbit. What do you mean by that, mate?
Yeah, the concept is a good one. It's put together by a company by the name of NanoRacks. Now, they work with the space program already. They help put payloads up to the space station. And the idea is to refurbish the fuel tanks. There's a lot of them up there. This is the third stage, the one that puts the satellite into orbit. The rocket tanks are designed to hold pressure. Okay, they're very strong, and they can withstand anything we put them to, the rigors of space. They're also roomy. The upper stage of one of these is fairly big, quite comfortable to live in. They need a little sprucing up. You've got to clean them out, vent the remaining fuel in there. Maybe robots can go up and put these together or weld them together. We don't know. But the idea is very, very good. You can take that space junk, we call space junk anyway, the spent boosters that are up there, and put them together, join them together, much as you would down here if you had, prefabricated buildings and you wanted to make one bigger one.
Oh.
I think it's a great idea.
Recycling. The ultimate recycler. Yeah.
Yeah, recycle the damn thing. So who knows? There's great ideas up there. There are entrepreneurs out there who will make these ideas we've got now, these things that are hard to try and visualise and probably hard to do at the present stage of our technology. But once we get up there and running and private people come into it, I'm sure that a lot of construction companies would make this a viable thing, especially when you think that space tourism is on the go and people are going to want somewhere to stay. There's only one orbiting hotel up there, and this could be another one. It's already been put together and it's in the testing stage. So these are modularized things being put together here, fabricated here on Earth and put up into orbit there. Look, who knows how the future is going to go here, but I do know that that we're going to need the room. There are going to be a lot of people who want to travel in space. A lot of people want to be space tourists, being one of them. And we want somewhere nice and comfy to stay. So who knows? It's a cost-effective way of solving a big problem.
Now, tell me about this YouTuber who reckons he's found evidence for the source of that wow signal. That's really intriguing.
Yeah, it is really intriguing. I've always been fascinated by the wow signal. Very quickly, back in 1977, two young guys picked the signal up with some brand new equipment at the Ohio University they were working at. We're only brand new at this. No one had ever done any SETI work before. And they put a receiver there and they left it running day and night. After about 2 months, one of the guys came in one morning and saw a big jump in the graph. The graph paper had a huge leap on it. Somewhere through the night, a signal came into that equipment, lasted for 72 seconds, Bulko, and then disappeared. Now, we don't know where it came from, who sent it. Over the years, we've gone back there to try and find out who may have done this. We've come up, no one's come up with a clear answer to it. Why did this signal happen? Who sent the signal? The signal, for all intents and purposes, was exactly what we'd expect from a civilization, sending a message out. Now, only in the last few weeks, someone's come up with a great idea. They've done some research on it. And this guy, his name is Alberto Cavallero. He runs the Exoplanets channel. And what he's done, he's gone to the Gaia database. Now, that's a database of stars, over a billion stars that we've catalogued. We know exactly where they are. And what he's done is tried to find out if there's anything in the direction that this signal was coming from the constellation Sagittarius. And he did. He found what appears to fit the bill. There's a star there that's almost the same as our own, a mirror image, if you will, and it's located in a part of the sky where the wow signal came from. It's the only Earth-type candidate star or planet out
I know what you mean, yeah.
The star out there with a planet around it, you know, that could be like our own. So it's a long shot. It's drawing a long bow, I know. But nobody's come up with a definitive answer for the wow signal. This guy, at least, is giving it a try. Whether he's right on the money or not, I don't know. We'll never, ever know. But one thing is interesting to think back and reflect it. Back in 1977, wasn't it interesting that we may have been scanned by another civilization looking for us, sending a message out saying, "G'day, mate," and we weren't good enough to pick it up. In those years, we didn't have the computer technology we've got. If we had it today, we would lock onto the signal. We know exactly where it came from and lots of other information. But unfortunately, this has been lost to history. And if you want to spend a good 10 or 15 minutes online and look at a great story, go and look up the WOW signal, W-O-W, their signal, S-O-G-N-A-L. Yeah. It's a great read.
And it's a good yarn to have a look at that YouTube debate, because it also ties into this other story too about exoplanets, because that's what the buzzword is right now. What are you saying? Apparently these exoplanets could be looking at us. Are you saying they're that big they can see us or acknowledge our existence?
Oh, there could be a countless number out there.
Right.
You know, there could be numerous. 4,000 planets beyond our solar system. We found them. We know they're out there. And the question is, who might be doing the same looking back here? And that was posed by two astronomers at Cornell University. And they've identified more than 1,000 stars out there similar to our own. And they're in a fairly close proximity to 300 light years that may have Earth-like planets around them. So look, when we look at the universe and we look at our neighbours, we find find many similarities of what we've got here. The chances are great that there are other people out there. The possibility of other civilizations in close range to us, not right now, because they're probably too far away in travel time.
David, thank you so much. And you know what's got me thinking about this WOW signal? The reason they sent it so long ago was because we didn't have the technology to track them. See, these days, they're probably a bit savvy to how better we are at, you know, having that ability to lock in the signal. So there was probably method behind that decision, David, but we shall never know, will we? More on that at davidrenicky.com if you want to know more. Check it out. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Bill. Catch you next week. Bye.